I do. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity today, Father, to meet with you and to hear your word, Father. Father, we ask that you let it just sink right into our hearts and our souls. And Father, we just want to give you all the praise and glory for what you're going to do in this beautiful day today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen, amen. Okay. I don't know how far it's going to go, but there's a little series that we started last week on looking beyond your current reality. And we talked a lot, Mike, about how, you know, if there's more out there, then guess what? That's going to change our reality. The more we fellowship with God, the more he unveils things to us and reveals things to us, and we gain wisdom and all these wonderful things. So guess what? With that comes a change of reality. What we thought was real 10, 15 years ago, I think it's changed. It should. I hope it's changed for everyone, because the more understanding we have and the more wisdom he gives us, not only the closer we're going to get to him, but the more we're going to see things as they really are. So, Kathy read out of Romans 8:29 last week. And I'll go ahead and read that. Let's see, was it 8:29? Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and read that, just to get started into the next thing that we're going to talk about.
Romans what?
Romans 8, 28 to 30. And this is for you, Mike, because you weren't here, but I think we all can listen to it again, because it's a very powerful scripture. It says, "Meanwhile, we know that the love of God causes everything to mutually contribute to our advantage. His master plan is announced in our original identity. He redesigned and engineered us from the start to be jointly fashioned in the same mold and image of his son, according to the exact blueprint of his thought."
Wow.
I heard someone say, you want to talk about, you know, a graphic thought, a graphic depiction. Someone said that we came from the same womb as Jesus. I mean, when you think about it that way, if you come in the natural, if you come from the same womb, you're a brother, you're a sister, you may even be an identical twin.
That's right. So the only difference between that is the time variance.
Right.
If you're born 2 years apart, you're brothers and sisters.
Right.
Since time has nothing to do with God's eternity,
right,
could be
you
identical
are the
twins.
Expressed image of the original son. But anyway, okay, so where are we? We see the original and intended pattern of our lives preserved in his son. He is the firstborn from the same... Oh, that's where I got that. Okay, he is... I read so many versions of this scripture that I forgot which was which. He is the firstborn from the same womb that reveals our genesis. He confirms that we are the invention of God. We've come from above. This is a note here. We were also born anew when he was raised from the dead. His resurrection co-reveals our common genesis as well as our redeemed innocence. No wonder then that he is not ashamed to call us his siblings. Verse 30, Jesus reveals that we pre-existed in God and he defined us. He rendered us innocent. Man, does the church need to hear that? They're innocent, but they don't know it. They're still
Amen.
They're still in that sin consciousness that I'm just a dirty, rotten sinner. No, you're not. No, don't even confess that because it's a lie. You are not a dirty, rotten sinner. You have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and you're not a sinner anymore. So don't call yourself a sinner. Jesus reveals that we pre-existed in God. He defined us. He rendered us innocent and also adorned us with splendor and esteem. It says in the notes, predefined, like when an architect draws up a detailed plan. You know, Oscar of all people should know, you gotta have a blueprint. If you're gonna design a part, you better have a blueprint. You don't just start the machine and start doing stuff. You know, if an architect's building a house, I don't think they just say, well, let's put this 2x4 here and then let's pour some concrete here. There is a plan. And so isn't it interesting that your whole life is on the blueprint? Your whole existence is in a plan, detailed mm-hmm. plan, to declare righteousness and innocence. So, that's where we'll start. Any comments on that? I think the Passion says, having determined our destiny ahead of time.
What was that you were reading out of?
Mirror. Having determined our destiny ahead of time. It says, for he knew all about us before we were born, and he destined us. And what did he destine us to? Become just like him. That's who he destined us to be. That's the master plan, is to be just like him. Okay, well, let's get into Ephesians 1:4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And then there's a colon there, so something else is coming. What is that? Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself. According to the good pleasure of his will. Wow. That'll get you going. That'll get you going. You are his good pleasure. You're not some nobody that he could care less about. Okay, so let's look at the word predestination, and that means decided beforehand. I like this. It says God decreeing from eternity. Because so many people look at eternity as a future thing. Well, it's not. It's eternity. You can't really define eternity other than get time and space out of it. Then everything's eternity. Mm-hmm. So we are so bound by time and space in our natural existence mm-hmm. that it's hard for us to understand eternity. It's not an easy concept to understand. But, you know, if all this is true, and I believe it is, you don't, that's okay. That's up to you. Yes.
I believe that that's one of the veils that God is lifting
yes.
in this day.
I agree.
Yeah.
That's
this
bursting
new
through
understanding,
that membrane we talked about
yeah,
last week.
This new understanding of who and what we are in him and what his purposes are.
His creation, Kathy, is so big.
Yeah.
So big. So many dimensions, so much. I mean, you look at, you know, knowledge. there's been more knowledge available in the last 2 years than the last 2,000 years. I mean, is that crazy or what? Think about that for a second. It's exponentially just on a freight train, you know. Look at AI, look at all this stuff going on.
I was just gonna say, you know, in the Gospel of John where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Word for word back there is the word logos, and I feel like the definition that God gave me for that word originally years ago was that it was his thought, his intentions, and his purposes. And that is the womb of God, his thought, his intentions, and his purposes. You were in his thoughts before you were ever born. You were part of his intention before you were ever born into this life. And you were part of his purposes before you were ever born into this life. And what we're coming to the knowledge of is, what is our purpose? Why are we here? That if you ask everybody out there, why are you here? They give you a hundred different reasons. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm here because I work at such and such a company, right? Well, no, that's not why you're here. You're here because God chose to lower man into a realm where he can perfect you. You know, I think the way the Lord showed it to me years ago was that, like that movie of the Prince and the Pauper, you know, and you know, they were identical twins, but they were separated at birth. And one was the king, the future king. The other one was a pauper. Well, they changed places. And, you know, all you really had in the one who was a pauper was he had mistaken identity. He didn't know who he was. And when you come to the realization that what God's revealing is who you are in him, but he's also the one that in the appointed time, and there is a time element in everything. I mean, you know, we try to talk like there's no time element at times, but there is a time element. Because if you go through the scripture, I shared a message a few weeks back.
In the fullness of time.
Yeah, that's right. And there's and is today the fullness of time? Is the fullness of time for you right now in the growth process that you're in the revelation process that you're in? It's the fullness of time for you in that particular place. But is that the complete fullness of time of what God is going to do ultimately? And I like what you said the other week when you were talking about all the different dimensions. I was thinking about that. And you said the fourth dimension is time.
That's what the scientists say.
Yeah, well, I know, but that's what you were saying. The fourth dimension is time. And you were saying, you know, there might be other dimensions. Well, I got news for you. When you get into that fourth dimension of time, where time is the fullness of time, mm-hmm. it's been mm-hmm. completed,
yeah.
there's nothing else to be done.
Right.
Because at the fullness of time, and each one of us is in a position to where you're at right here today is the fullness of time for you today.
Right.
Might not be tomorrow.
It's individual.
Might not be tomorrow.
Yeah.
It might not be 2 weeks from now as God's revelation unfolds in your life. But when you come to understand that, then, you know, it's not that you're making yourself something that you're not. You're making yourself what God says you are and the reality that you come to in understanding what God says you are, you know.
Another thing I think...
Until you experientially...
Yeah,
come into it.
That word experience just always keeps coming up. You can't really know it until you experience it. You can have it up here, but until you experience it, doesn't transfer down deep into your inner man. But another thing I felt the Lord showing me is this, that we know all the things Jesus did, mm-hmm. all the miracles, all the wonderful things. You know, he was in heavenly places, standing on earth, you know, but I think we're coming to a time, or we're in a time, where he's going to take the veil back on how he did it. How he did it. Because we just believe it and that's it, you know. But I want to know the power, the real power behind it, and how this was accomplished. Because, you know, if you're working a job and you say, well, I know how to do this, that, and the other, but when you find out how it all works, you tend to understand it more, and you tend to be able to apply it more, you know, than just, well, I think this is how it goes or whatever. So anyway, that's just something on the side here. Since man is created in the image and after the likeness of God, he is predestined to bring the perfect pattern into expression. You are that perfect pattern. And he's bringing you into expression. It is well to use a daily affirmation such as this. In the name of Christ, Jesus Christ, I am a son of God, and the Spirit of the Most High dwells in me. I am predestined to be the perfect expression of my Father, and the fullness of all good is mine. Think about, you know, we've said this before, I don't want to belabor it, but I think it's so important at this point to bring this up. Think about our words. Think about what we say. Think about what we think. We need to, I think we must capture those thoughts and bring to the obedience of Christ before they come out of our mouth. Because, you know, sometimes I'll be working on something at the house, putting something together, and I'll, oh, I skipped step three. And I go back and I go, you dummy. You know, why? It's right there. How could you have missed that? And I'll start railing on myself, you know? And I got to stop that, you know, because I'm a child of God. I am predestined to be the perfect expression of my Father. I am the fullness. That word I am, didn't Jesus tell Moses to tell the Pharaoh, I am? Mm-hmm. Well, you are too. If this is true, I know this would bristle a lot of Christians, but if you're predestined to be the perfect expression of the Father and the fullness of all good is mine, then you am. Right?
Mm-hmm. So that's why for me, it's so important for me not to look behind and not to look ahead. To yeah. Live each day by itself.
Yeah.
It's just like the sermon I gave each day when I said it's an adventure. Well, each day is a new day, and you're gonna have your trials, you're gonna have your ups, you're gonna have your downs, you're gonna have your sideways, just like you were saying, when you get mad at yourself for doing mm-hmm. stuff, skipping step three. You're going to have all those things are going to happen to you every day. Mm-hmm. And that's why we need to focus on each moment.
Yeah.
That's the old comment, moment in time. Mm-hmm. Each moment is a moment in time in our life. And that's, we need to focus on that and focus that Jesus is in our lives and God is in our, we're in his presence and he is there to guide us through whatever we're going through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can never hurt to give these daily affirmations before your feet even hits the ground. Mm-hmm. I think it will just make your day much more productive and much more enjoyable. I mean, attitude is huge in all this. I mean, I heard this one guy say that he took his two grandkids to Disney World. You know, here it is, the place that every kid in the world would love to be. And the one boy was just a grump the whole day, and the other one was just having the time of his life. Well, guess what? It's the same Disney World for both kids, right?
Yeah, that doesn't change.
That doesn't change. It's like, that's Disney World. One's attitude was, yes. The other's attitude was, nah.
I don't want to be here.
I don't want to be here. I'm miserable, you know, nah, 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 nah. So anyway, I thought that was interesting. You know, God says in Genesis 17:1, I am, back to the I am, God Almighty. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Be thou perfect. Do you think he's going to ask you to do something that you can't do? Sure, it's got only it can only happen through his help and through, like Mike said, his guidance for us to feel like we're perfect. But we realize that it's not a thing that we did. It's all him. It's none of us that allows us to make that positive affirmation of faith that we are perfect in him. The belief that God makes men do certain things cannot be true in a single instance. Uh-oh, now we're getting into this big discussion that Christians have all over the place, free will and choice. Because if it were, let's see, the belief that God makes men do certain things cannot be true in a single instance, because if it were, man would not be a free agent. And I'll put a disclaimer on everything. If this is something you don't believe, that's okay. That's okay. You won't hurt my feelings at all. But this is what I believe. If God interfered with man's will in some things, it would follow that he could interfere in any and all things. Logic and observation clearly reveal the freedom of man in everything. He was given freedom of thought and must work out his own salvation. Anybody have a different view of that that you'd like to bring out? That we have, do we have free choice? I mean, if we're predestined, I mean, there's the big dilemma. Okay, we've been predestined, you know, God's got a plan, he's got a blueprint for our lives, all this, but then we have free choice. I mean, let's face it, there is a kind of a conundrum there that we have to work through. Where's free choice in, where God works out all things after the counsel of his will? Interesting, huh?
Well, if you understand what the scriptures say in the Old Testament, when he talked about Cyrus, you know, he prophesied in Isaiah that he'd bring forth his servant Cyrus, and that, you know, basically he would, you know, fulfill his will, do his will, even though he didn't know him.
Mm-hmm.
And this was prophesied about 200 years before Cyrus was born.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to realize, even in the free will aspect of your life, God knows what you're going to do before you ever do it.
Right.
He knew what you were going to do before. There's no time element with him in the sense of past, present, and future. He's in all of that. So he knows exactly what you're going to do.
Yep.
As you go down through your walk with him, you have a free choice, but he knows the choices that you're going to make.
Right. I've heard it analogous, you know, to getting on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
If you're on a cruise ship and it's going to Jamaica, guess what? There's not a darn thing you can do to stop that ship. Well, maybe if there's a big storm or something, but I mean, there's nothing you can do. But while on that ship, you can make choices to shoot skeet or hit golf balls or go eat or whatever, you know. But God, he's going to complete that which he began, the work that he started in us. It's going to get completed. Mm-hmm. And we do have choices. We, you know, or the Bible wouldn't say these next three scriptures.
One of the ways that I would put that is like this. I've watched movies before where I've seen the whole movie. And you sit down with someone who's watching it for the first time. Mm-hmm. That's us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if you're not careful, you kill the plot because you tell everybody what's going to happen before it happened in the movie. Because you've seen the whole picture. You know exactly what's going to happen. And, you know, a lot of times, if you're telling a person, hey, you ought to go see this particular movie, you ought to be careful, because if you start telling them, you're going to ruin the movie for them.
Spoiler alert.
It's a spoiler alert. That's right. And it's the same with the knowledge of God. If he let you know everything before it ever happened, then where does faith come in? It doesn't. It's not hard to have faith if you know exactly everything that's going to happen to get you to the point where he wants you to be. And, you know, don't you realize that even what Paul said, I'm talking about God who separated him from his mother's womb, you know, and called him to do what he was called to do. And he said, woe be unto me if I don't do that.
Right.
Well, I got news for you. There really wasn't no woe be it, because God knew what he was going to do. He knew he was going to fulfill his purposes. Mm-hmm. And in your life and in my life and the rest of our lives, he knew exactly what was happening. I told you when I was 14, I think it was, the Lord showed me standing behind a pulpit speaking. Well, there was no way I was going to do that. I had no desire to do that. But yet he knew that I was going to get there, you know. And guess what? No matter what I did to try to run from that, it wasn't going to work. Just like Jonah, it wasn't going to work that Jonah went to the other end of the earth, because God wanted him in Nineveh. He was going to end up in Nineveh one way or the other. But if you knew all the ins and outs of everything that was going to happen to you, there'd be no faith involved, you know. And it's good that God is revealing to us deeper truths and all that stuff. But I got news for you. You're going to get tried in every one of those truths. Mm-hmm. You're going to get hammered every time you turn around. Mm-hmm. And you know, because he's going to try your faith. Because the trying of your faith is more precious than gold. You know, it's like the gold has been tried in the fire. That's a necessary process. Can I read you one scripture real quick in here? This is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And this is toward the end of it. It says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, and that which is in part will be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I'm known. And you quoted that scripture last week. Mm-hmm. And now abideth these three, faith, hope, and charity being love, you know. These three, but the greatest of these is charity or love. You want to see where you fall at as far as your maturity in God? When you get to the point where you can love someone when they're unlovable, when somebody's mistreated you can still love them. You can still be there for them. You can still do that stuff. Then you'll realize that you've started to grow up, because you know what? God so loved the world he gave his only begotten son. Jesus died for us all when we were not worthy of being died for in the natural, you know. So, you know, that's sort of the abiding point. And that word for perfect there also, if you go down and look at Strong's Concordance toward the bottom, it will tell you, it'll talk about a full-aged man. So the perfect part is when we've grown up into that full-aged man, which is the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And part of that growing up into a full-aged man is learning the responsibilities and the ins and outs of what it means to be a full-aged man in Christ. And that's part of why this revelation stuff is so necessary, because it's us learning what's involved there. You know, what does God want us to do? What does he, you know, what is our part in this? The main part we have is just to believe what his word declares, you know. If we do that, you know, it's just like that prince and that pauper. The pauper, as long as he kept a pauper's mentality, he was going to be a pauper. And the prince, when he went down and tried and saw what a pauper's life was all about, And I think that's why God lowered mankind into the natural realm, so that we would realize what it really was, you know.
Yep. Bible says we do have to make choices. Isaiah 56:4 says, choose the things that please me. Guess what? Mike, you can't please Kathy unless you know what pleases her. How do you know what pleases her? You gotta spend time with her. When you first started dating, you didn't know what pleased her other than the things that everybody's pleased with, and that's 3 meals and a roof over your head and whatever, right? But the more time you spent with her, you realize that she likes pink roses, or she likes Mexican
lots of
food.
Lots of money.
Whatever. So, yeah, we want to choose the things that please the Lord, but we got to know Him first to know what pleases Him. How do we get to know Him? Well, this is one way. This is one way, but it's definitely not the only way. You know, this is part of it, a major part of it, but it's not the only part of it, because you got to spend time with someone in that quiet place, in that place of reverence and meditation, that you spend time focused on Him and ask Him questions. And if He doesn't answer you right away, guess what? Doesn't mean He's not going to answer you, because He said ask, seek, and knock. So if you're asking, seeking, knocking, then I believe you're going to get your answer. Whenever, I don't know, but you're going to get your answer. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, choose life. Well, whose life? Jesus' life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So choose Jesus. That's where your life is. I mean, if the Holy Spirit hadn't breathed into your lungs, you wouldn't be alive right now. Nobody is alive without that. Joshua 24:15 says, choose this day whom you will serve. You're going to serve money. You're going to serve, you know, God. You're going to serve a riotous lifestyle, or you're going to serve a godly lifestyle. He still loves you, whichever one you pick. He's still going to love you. He's not going to leave you or forsake you. But He knows what you're going to do before you're going to do it. So guess what? You know, He is going to be pleased with you regardless, because you're His son, daughter, whatever. So, and this is the crux of Christianity, where they just, many of them miss it. It says in John 15:16, ye did not choose me. Think about that. Everybody says, well, I chose Jesus today. Well, yes, that's good. But He chose you first. And you wouldn't have a chance of choosing Jesus if He hadn't first chosen you. Ye did not choose me, but I chose you, and it gets better. I appointed you. What do He appoint you? That you should go out and bear fruit. Mm-hmm. You're appointed to go out and do that. That's your job, to bear fruit. Well, now you got to go back and find out what that means, fruit. Does He mean go eat an apple every day and keep the doctor away, or does He mean something else? Well, we know what the fruit of the Spirit is. If the fruit of the Spirit says to love those people that misuse you, mistreat you and whatever, and to pray for them and whatever, that's what you're appointed to do. That's not an easy appointment.
No, it's not.
But that's what we're appointed to do, is we're appointed to love everyone as our neighbor and as we love ourselves. And whoo, buddy, that's when the rubber meets the road, huh? Mm-hmm. So So that's what we're appointed to do. But we first of all have to realize He chose us.
If we would live a life of gratefulness in the Lord, then we learn through that no matter what comes our way, we know that God has chosen it for us. And it might be a bump in the road, but it's okay to be a bump in the road.
Yeah, bumps in the road, it's funny you said that, because my granddaughter graduated from Milford yesterday, and we went out to dinner, and I wrote on her card a bunch of different things. I said, it may sounded weird to her, she didn't have a comment, maybe someday she'll understand it, but I said, always accept failure. Because all it is a bump in the road to your success.
You learn more from your failures than you do from your successes.
No question.
You do, really.
Sure.
Oh, you do. Anybody knows that, I do.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, I mean, when I was working, I there was this one boss that I had that basically I said to myself, when I become a boss, which I was his predecessor, I replaced him, I said, I'm going to do everything just the opposite of what this guy does. And that's how I learned my management style, based on the things that he did that didn't motivate people. They didn't even think he could do our job. All us underlings were like looking at him like, could he even do what we do every day? Because he would ask questions, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and he would ask questions that made us believe that he didn't know the job. So, anyway. All right, I think we'll stop there and move to the sanctuary. Oscar, you want to pray?
Sure. Father, we thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and life. We thank you for the revelation knowledge that you're beginning to reveal to us more and more. And Father, we thank you that we're being changed from glory to glory into the very image of your Son. And I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for the word that's going forth out from out of here, that it would just touch people's hearts and begin to change their lives, and let them give them ears to hear what the Spirit would speak to them.
Yes.
And we'll be most careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.